greet you in the name of the Lord, so thankful for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we invite you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the love of God that brought Jesus into this world to be our Savior and our Redeemer. And we're so thankful today we have the privilege of being a part of the family of God. We also thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We're trusting that the Holy Spirit will be able to use our broadcast to make it a blessing to precious eternity-bound souls. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share this gospel broadcast with you from week to week, and we do trust that it is proving to be a blessing to you. It would be an encouragement to us if you would let us know that our broadcast is a blessing. And we have some notes here that we'd like to share with you. Dear Brother Alvin, as always, have been blessed so many times by your messages on the radio, KWDF, and the wonderful Way of truth paper. I always anxiously await each. That's from Louisiana and from Virginia. Early on Sunday morning, I tuned my radio to 9:40 a.m., Smithfield, Virginia. I heard Pastor Craig give a message on guard against deception. I strongly felt the Lord wanted me to hear this message. I am requesting the cost of a CD of this message, if available. And another from Louisiana. Been listening to you on 8:40 a.m., Alexandria. I enjoy listening to you. If you have anything you could send me, I would greatly appreciate it. I desire to know more about God. And may God bless you in Jesus' name. And from Canada, dear brother, greetings in Jesus' name. The way of truth, how refreshing and wonderful to hear your program each Sunday morning on shortwave radio. I had grown weary of all the modern Christian music and those new versions of the Bible. Your program is truly a blessing to me. Praise the Lord. The Lord willing, we'll be giving you our address at the close of the broadcast today, and we would appreciate hearing from you as well as these dear ones.
God sent His Son. They call Him
Our subject for today's broadcast, Jesus goes up to Jerusalem. And our text of Scripture is found in Matthew chapter 20, reading verses 17 through 19. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. I want you to look with me into the last few days of Jesus' life before his crucifixion. As Jesus and his disciples journeyed along, he tells them of his coming death. According to Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, they passed through Jericho. As he was going out of the city, a blind man got his attention. This blind man was named Bartimaeus, and he was blind and was a beggar. And whenever he heard the commotion of people going by, he inquired as to what it was all about. And they told him that Jesus was passing by. And he cried out, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. The people tried to quieten him, but he cried out the louder. And he got Jesus' attention. And Jesus said, bring him to me. He asked Bartimaeus what he wanted. And of course, a blind man, he wanted his sight, and Jesus gave it to him. Yes, Jesus gave him sight, and he rejoiced and was thankful and grateful for it and wanted to go with Jesus. And then from Jericho, Jesus walks the steep hills up to Jerusalem. Hundreds of feet below sea level was Jericho, and where he was going up to Jerusalem was more than 2,000 feet above sea level. Although Jericho and Jerusalem was only a few miles apart. So it was indeed a steep hill, or a number of steep hills, that Jesus journeyed as he left Jericho and went up to Jerusalem. Now, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus comes to Bethany, which is on the backside of the Mount of Olives, where he had raised Lazarus from the dead. There they made Jesus a meal, and Martha served while Lazarus sat with him at the table. And people came not only to see Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead after he had been dead 4 days. And while there, Mary, and there were a number of Marys in the Bible, Mary came with an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on Jesus, including his feet, and washed his feet with her hair. When the disciples saw it, they were filled with indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste?" Judas was one of the objectors. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." Matthew chapter 26 and verse 13, and we are telling the story here on the broadcast today. Judas was one of the ones, I say, objected, but you know, Judas was a thief. He was the treasurer of the little band, and he had been stealing, and he wanted the money to be put in a bag so he could steal some of it, evidently. Nevertheless, Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She has done this against my burying." And so the woman was forgiven much of, as Jesus said, "Who will forgive the most? He that forgiven little or he that is forgiven most?" And his host said, "Well, I suppose he that forgiveth much." Well, this woman had been forgiven very much, and she was expressing her love and her appreciation to the Master for what he had done for her. The next day, Jesus sends two disciples to get a donkey on whom no man had ever sat. They set Jesus on it, and he came riding it across the Mount of Olives. And as he did, multitudes spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. The multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now this was a fulfillment of prophecy. For the Old Testament prophet said, Behold your king that cometh riding upon the ass. Across, and he was coming across the Mount of Olives, and they not only cried out, Hosanna, but they also attributed to him being king, and he was indeed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then Jesus, coming down the Mount of Olives on another day, looks over Jerusalem and weeps, telling the people of the coming destruction of the city. How oft would I have gathered thee together, but you would not. Therefore your house is left unto you desolate. Jesus indeed wept over Jerusalem, and how he would have covered them with his wings, as it were, but they would not. And you know, beloved, Jesus never forces himself on anyone. If we are to have Jesus Christ, we must desire him. And we are to come to him, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He comes to the temple, and according to Luke, began to cast out those that sold doves and money changers because they were thieves. And he upset their money tables and took a whip and drove them out of the temple. You have made my Father's house a den of thieves, and it's supposed to be a house of prayer. He spent the next couple of days teaching there in the temple. According to Luke, he cast out those that sold doves and money changers, and as they left, he spent time teaching them the things of God. And during that time, the religious leaders were plotting how they might kill him, according to Matthew chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. They gathered together, and there they endeavored to plot and to make their plans as to how they could get rid of this man that they despised, as we read here in Matthew chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. Then assembled together the chief priests, and the scribes, and the elders of the people, unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. And while they were plotting and scheming as to how they could get rid of this man, here comes Judas, one of the 12, and said to them, in effect, I realize and I know that you're trying to get rid of this man, and I can help you. And so they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver, that he would betray Jesus into their hands. Now Jesus sends two disciples to check on the upper room, where he was to observe the Passover supper with them. And in the upper room, Jesus surprises the disciples by washing their feet. At the end of the supper, Jesus institutes what we call the Lord's Supper. Now, while they were eating the Passover supper, Jesus said, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you shall betray me? And of course, each one of them began to say, Is it I? And of course, Judas had to be in tune with the rest of them. And so he said, Is it I? And Jesus said, He it is that dippeth in the sop with me. And he looked Judas in the eye, and he said, What thou doest, do quickly. And Judas went out into the night, and there he gathered together those that were to follow him to the garden where Jesus was to be arrested. And so Jesus, after he had instituted the Lord's Supper, they sang a hymn and went out. Now, the broken bread that Jesus gave them was representative of his broken body, and the fruit of the vine was representative of the blood of the new covenant. So the Lord's Supper is something separate and apart from the Passover Supper. That was the last Passover Supper that God recognized. After that, it was the Lord's Supper. So they sang a hymn and went out, and Jesus goes down across the Kidron Valley into the Garden of Gethsemane. And there he told Peter, James, and John to watch and to pray while he went further to pray himself. But they fell asleep, and they disappointed the Master. What, can you not watch with me 1 hour? After Jesus had prayed the third time, Judas comes leading the armed guards from the temple to the garden to arrest Jesus, and his disciples flee. And the scriptures tell us that Peter follows afar off. And they bound the Lord Jesus there in the garden and took him first to Annas' house, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas. And Caiaphas was the high priest that year. So later they took him on to Caiaphas' house, or Caiaphas' palace, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. And Peter was brought into the palace by John, and it was there that certain ones began to identify Peter as one of the disciples, and he began to deny it. Let us read from Isaiah chapter 53. I'd like for you to notice here what Isaiah says in regard to the Lord Jesus. Isaiah 53, beginning with verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. So if he was put in prison for a while the night that they had, after they had arrested him, it was presumably in a dungeon in Caiaphas' house. According to tradition, the dungeon in Caiaphas' house was used for a prison. And Isaiah says that he was taken from the prison. After they had given him the mock trial, then they take him to Pilate. They were not allowed to crucify or kill a prisoner, and so they insisted that Pilate crucify Jesus. So they bound Jesus, and they took him to Caiaphas, and then they took him to Pilate. And after Pilate tried to persuade them to let him go, let me scourge him, let me whip him, and then you let him go, or I will let him go. And they said, no, crucify him. What has he done? Pilate knew that Jesus had not done anything worthy of death. So he hit on a plan. I'm going to take the most notable prisoner we've got, and I'm going to give them the choice, make them make a choice, and they surely will not call for the release of this terrible prisoner. They doubtless then will ask for Jesus to be released. So he put Barabbas before them. Which one do you want me to release, Barabbas or your king? And to Pilate's amazement, they said, you release unto us Barabbas. Well, then what shall I do with Jesus? Crucify him, crucify him. And so, after plaiting a crown of thorns, after scourging him with that whip, after spitting on his face, after plucking out a portion of his beard, they put on him the cross, led him outside of the city of Jerusalem to Golgotha, the place of a skull. And there they crucified the Son of God. Yes, he was the man on the middle cross. But, beloved, that is not the end of the story, thank God. On that third day, early in the morning, the angel of the Lord came and rolled away the stone, and Jesus Christ came forth out of that tomb, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And he is alive forevermore. Yes, Jesus Christ came into this world. He suffered, he bled, he died on the cross. But, beloved, he also came forth out of that tomb. And he was here on the earth for about 40 days before he returned to the Father. And the Apostle Paul teaches us in the book of Romans that one of the conditions of our receiving Christ as Lord and Savior is that we must believe that God hath raised him from the dead. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We trust that our broadcast service has been accompanied by the Spirit of God and a blessing to souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If our broadcast is a blessing to you, it would be an encouragement to us if you'd take time to let us know. Now, our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21740, USA, and we would be thankful if you would let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. You may also email us at this address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our fax number is 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173. Now, our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. You may join us in our services Sunday morning. Our service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening worship service begins at 6 in the evening. And, of course, that's Eastern time. And we would be happy to have you to join us in our regular Sunday services, 20 minutes before 11 Sunday morning, 6 in the evening, and we would be happy to have you as a part of our congregation. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to today's broadcast. I'd like to invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings abide.